Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott. And this podcast is brought to you by
Everything's Coming Up Simpsons. Make sure to tune in on September 11th.
We are talking about the episode Radio Bart with a special guest you may recognize.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright.
And actually, I'm Bart Simpson. Who the hell are you?
We're so excited.
Oh, this is so good.
This was one of our favorite episodes we've ever done.
Mark your calendars. I don't know. You're probably already downloading it. What is this life?
September 11th, we are joined by, you already heard her, Nancy Cartwright. We're so excited. Please tune in.
All right. Bye.
Hey, Weird Adults. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible has the best audiobook performances, the largest library, and the most exclusive content, and you'll feel something when you listen. Learn more at audible.com/weirdadults, where you can get 30 days free and one free audiobook. It's awesome, and just so you know, I'm right now reading Missoula. I think it's a must read, and it's super easy to digest if you're listening to it on Audible. I'm also highly, highly, extremely beyond above recommending you read or listen to on Audible, So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. If you are of the now, if you are living in the time that we're living, which I hope you are if you're listening to this, if not, please seek medical attention because you are in fact dead. But if you are living, you have to read So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson, and you can get it for free by going to audible.com/weirdadults. This book is such a necessary read because it's so relevant to the times we're living in, and I just think it's awesome. All right, guys, check it out, audible.com/weirdadults. Okay, so we're here.
Yes, we are.
I'm with Steph Sambari.
Hello.
Do you go professionally by Stephanie or still Steph?
I don't have a... It's whatever people print on the flyer.
On the lineup.
Yeah.
I feel like your on your way here was a very Stephanie versus Esther moment because you were like, I need a snack. Do you have anything? And I was like, chips and candy. And you were like, no, I'm feeling five almonds or seaweed. Which is...
When you put it like that, I was trying to explain like the minimal nature of what I needed.
But that's so weird. Like, really, you could just go with a handful of almonds and seaweed and...
Well, that's not like my lunch, but like to hold me over so my blood sugar doesn't plummet.
I just feel like the people who can have a handful of almonds, like, what's your story?
You just... You don't look at it like food that you're like eating for enjoyment. You look at it as fuel that you're eating to continue living and thinking and feeling okay. Like if I don't have any food in my body, I don't feel good.
Yeah, I mean, that's correct. Right. I get.
So I don't need to like gorge myself with chips and candy.
I get your defense. It was just startling.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get you on a health food train and you're just not ready to transition yet.
I wish I was so badly. And I am putting in small efforts because last night I had two scoop sundae from Baskin Robbins. Shout out.
Ew. Baskin Robbins makes me shit myself.
Wait, it does?
Yeah.
Because I got really, I didn't shit myself, but I had horrible stomach pain.
Yeah.
Late
I've
at night.
Never not had like explosive diarrhea from Baskin Robbins. I've eaten it twice in my life.
Is it ice cream, all ice cream, or is it specifically
just Baskin Robbins?
Why do you think that is?
I think it's something in the way that they make it. I don't know. My mom can't eat it either.
Oh no.
Like I remember the first time I ate it, I was in like seventh grade and I had this crush on this boy and he was at my friend Lara's house and we were all hanging out and her mom's like, let's go get Baskin Robbins. And I was like, fun. And then I ate it and had like explosive diarrhea for the whole night.
It is impressive that you know the exact amount of times you've had Baskin Robbins.
Twice, because I thought that was maybe like a fluke. And then I tried it again.
Sure.
Made me sick again. And I was like, no.
The only place that's ever made me sick was IHOP. And
that makes sense.
I did not want to go, but I went and I got sick.
What'd you eat? Probably like eggs.
Probably like... A French toast of America. I feel like some classic special. I don't know.
French toast of America.
That's a real thing, I think.
It is.
Like different cities in America themed French toast.
Like, guys, just because you name your shit patriotic names doesn't mean that
Freedom
it's good
toast.
For you.
Yeah. Freedom toast. So you've been going through some changes lately.
I mean, your hair.
Yeah, I'm trans.
Did you go off the deep end and dye your hair different colors? What happened?
Well, since this is a podcast and I'm assuming none of you guys really know who I am, let me explain that my hair is like My Little Pony pink right now.
Yes.
And why did I do it? Is that the question?
It is. Because you started at white.
Wow.
Which I never, I'll let you go. I just will say I never saw that in person, but I really liked it on Instagram.
Thank you. It was difficult to maintain. But.
Why?
Because if you have like white blonde hair, you need to wash it with purple shampoo so it doesn't turn yellow. And since we live in Southern California, the sun is just like constantly perpetrating and making it want to turn yellow. So it's expensive to keep up when you have to keep putting toner in.
Oh.
I mean, initially when I went white, it took 10 hours of bleach on my hair.
Whoa.
It was crazy. Okay, so why did I do it? I was in a movie this summer that will be coming out sometime in the future called Ladylike.
Mm-hmm.
And they had me dye my hair brown. And I really didn't like the way that it looked.
I really, really liked the way that it looked.
Really? I felt so, like, boring. I just...
No, I think it was...
No offense.
No, none taken.
I think brown is beautiful.
I think it looked really good on you. But
I think I'm more like I resented it because of like the state of the situation that I was in. Like I was tired and I didn't want to dye my hair brown. I just,
right.
I had like resistance.
It was against your will.
It was.
That'll change things.
Yeah. So after that experience, I was like, I'm going to like do something so different. And like,
I needed to act out.
I needed to rebel. So plus, I really wanted to do, like, I loved everyone doing the fun colors. I love that that's, like, a trend now.
I know, me too, but I, like, I'm so into it, but I also feel like I'm too late on the movement. Like, I'm curious about it. You know, what would I do?
Well, you would have to, like, bleach your hair.
Oh, I know.
It's not, I mean, it looks cool, I think, on me, but my hair is extremely dry.
I don't mind dry hair because then it's
not greasy.
Yes, exactly. Grease is a main issue, is a major issue over
here.
I
never had a grease issue.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do you have dry or skin or oily skin?
I would say I have more dry skin than oily skin, but it's really like a combination.
Hmm.
That's what my dermatologist would say.
So you lashed out. Dyed your hair white.
Yeah.
Whose decision was that?
Mine. Well, I had been going to the same hair guy for a while, and he had been keeping me this like really natural California blonde. And I knew that if I went to him with the idea of like, I'm going to bleach my hair, he would, and I'm going to cut it, he'd be like, no, let's keep it what it is. Like, let's stay natural. You know, he liked what he was doing and I liked what he was doing. So instead I went to this girl, Melinda Miller Ryder. She works at Andy Lake Compt Salon in Beverly Hills. I don't know how to pronounce that, but you guys can Google it. And she's my friend's roommate. And I knew she has like really crazy hair. And I was like, she has the vision that I need. Like, if I go to her, she will do what I want her to do. And she was like, let's do it. It'll look great. And she just fucking slapped some bleach on my hair. But I don't think she realized how long it was going to take. I was literally at her apartment for over 9 hours.
That sounds very awful.
It was horrible. I couldn't sleep for like 2 days because my scalp was burning from the bleach.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it was really bad.
And then what made you go pink?
The blonde being really hard to maintain, and just like I had wanted to do a color initially, but she was like, we should keep it white for a second, it looks cool. And I was like, all right,
I think that was smart.
Yeah,
the white was cool.
It was fun, but this is more fun.
What's next?
I'll probably do this for a while, and then like when my hair grows, go back to normal at some point. I don't know. I'll do whatever showbiz tells me to do.
I mean, duh. Yeah, I feel like lavender is really cute.
I was thinking to transition to a purple before I go back to normal.
Yeah, I kind of vote for that.
Yeah. Okay.
Just so keep me in mind when you're, you know.
A winter lavender vibe?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
But I feel like it would be like a mixture of like this with the lavender that would look really good. Not like stripes, but like a tonal combination.
Right. You know, cute colors of hair just... It's like instant BFF status. You know, if you have a cute green hair color, I'm like, I feel like I know you. I want to know you.
Do you know that so many people compliment me every single day on my hair?
I can't even imagine.
It's insane.
Just, I love your
Strangers,
hair.
Strangers. Every day, like 10 of them. Love your hair. Your hair is so cool. And I'm just like, instant self-esteem boost everywhere
that's like
I go.
Being in junior high and being the kid in class who brought gum. Like, that's such a great secret hack.
Yeah.
A life hack, yeah. If you will.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Now I really want to do it. But I don't want to burn my scalp.
It's not pleasant. But you could do, like, stripes at the bottom, or like you could do a couple strips.
Ombre?
You don't have to do your whole head. Yeah. Ooh, an ombre.
Ooh. When I was in college, I dyed like the bottom part of my hair maroon because that's what Ozzy Osbourne had, and I really liked him at the time.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So I've been curious about doing that again. And sorry, listeners, we're just talking about hair. But if
you
saw
Steph's
hair,
hear about, really?
You'd be like, we need to talk about hair. So you have a podcast now.
I do have a podcast.
I'm so interested in your podcast. I just downloaded a bunch of episodes to listen to on a flight.
Cool.
Which, by the way, I want to say, I think I have like a couple travel hacks I want to share.
Okay.
So one of them is to definitely make sure you download a really good movie or TV show or podcast, something like it's worth spending a couple dollars on, like get something you really want to watch.
Agreed.
That's one. Cause when I flew to Australia, there were great movies to watch and that like made it very manageable.
Yeah, those international flights really hook you up.
Yeah, I couldn't believe all the choices. Whatever.
And free booze. I mean, you're not into that.
I don't,
like,
I'm not into that, but a lot of food. So that's, and then the second travel tip is to go to your favorite sandwich spot, get something that travels well, get a great meal and a great dessert, and take that with you on your flight. You just made yourself a first class trip.
True. But you ever get freaked out about putting your food through the machine?
Why?
I don't know. I'm super weird about like rays of things.
Oh my gosh. No, I think
like my sandwich goes to the x-ray machine. I'm like, that's gotta be
bad.
Do
you always opt out of the, so wait, do you do the,
occasionally I do opt out, but a lot of times I'm just like, ugh. You know why I don't do it most of the time is because I usually have weed in my bag and I don't want them to like go through my shit.
Oh,
that's, it depends on where I'm going and what's in my suitcase.
What would happen if you got caught with that?
Honestly, I think they might take it away and maybe give me a fine. I've never had enough weed in my possession where it would be like a felony. Like, you only get in a lot of trouble if it's enough where they can say you have the intent to sell, I believe.
Because that seems like very scary.
Yeah. Last time I traveled, I forgot that I had like a couple nugs in my tobacco roll that I had. And I was like, fuck, I hope. I was like picturing what the difference of marijuana and tobacco would look like in the x-ray machine. And I was just like, please let them not notice
emoji.
The difference. Yeah. Yeah.
I read this book by David Agus called The Short Guide to Long Life or something. It's just like this really easy to read, like 25 or 50 like easy tips on like how to be healthier. And one of them was to opt out of the stupid TSA scan where you spread your arms and they swipe you or whatever.
Yeah.
But for a while I was keeping that up, but then I'm like, they make you wait. It's so annoying
it is
to get
really
the pat
annoying.
Down. Like, it feels kind of good. That's great. But like you then are waiting and they can be kind of rude.
They are rude. Although one time I opted out at the same time as Sandra Bernhard and we got patted down together next to each other. And I was like, I love you.
Well, that's great.
That was cool.
And that's lucky.
That was lucky.
you really, that's amazing.
I also don't, I think like with anything, like unless you're someone who travels like every weekend, like I really don't think that the occasional like airport x-ray machine is gonna like be the thing that gets you.
Well, I only ask because you were concerned about x-raying your sandwich.
I know, that's just like a weird like obsessive thing.
I do feel like I am exposed to a lot of rays. I recently got an MRI and because I was having like some really bad stomach problems.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't proud to find the results were just gas.
Ha, well, your diet is horrible and you have candida.
How dare you?
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not gonna sugarcoat this for you anymore. No.
Literally. Steph, how do I
like,
be
you
healthier?
You need to change your life.
It's
me coming on this podcast is actually an intervention.
You are rubbing your tits so much.
I know. It hurts. I have like a sore tit because I'm about to get my period.
Do your boobs
hurt? Does that happen to you?
Oh my God. They literally hurt for 10 days.
Yeah, mine hurt for like so long. It's been like 6 days. I still don't even have it yet.
It's really unacceptable.
I'm sorry that I'm squeezing it.
No, it doesn't bother me. I just wanted the listeners to know.
Okay.
I felt like they are deserved.
I'm not doing it for my own pleasure. I'm doing it as like a
But
massage.
See, to me, I did not to harp on this, but if mine were hurting, I wouldn't be able to dig in the way you're digging in.
It like helps me to squeeze it.
That's so weird.
Move it around.
To me, like if a feather touched them, I would be like, oh, ow, ow, ow.
I feel like we're doing something wrong with that. Like there's this book called Woman Code that I read, and she wrote it because she had like cystic fibrosis on her ovaries, and she had like cystic acne, and she was like really not well, and all the doctors that she was going to were telling her just go on birth control and like you'll like get better, and they were just like throwing these like medications at her that were making her more unwell. And she did all of this research and she wrote this thing called Woman Code, which illuminates how to like be healthier on your period and cure like all of these ailments. So I wonder I wonder what that is. Like I know that like when you're hormonal and you're bleeding, you're supposed to eat beets and avocado and like olive oil and almonds and things with good fat. And
are there things to avoid or go for when you, because okay, I have really bad cramps on day one. Is there something, what can you tell me to help? Do you remember?
I don't know. Drink beet juice.
That sounds so fake.
I mean, does it?
I did read that caffeine is like not good for.
I know, but which is weird because there's caffeine in Mitol.
That was the same reaction I had when I read that because
I think caffeine is good.
Dude, I don't know.
Maybe not for your balance of your hormones, but for the actual feeling of cramps. I don't know. You should read Woman Code. I'm not an expert on it.
But you read it and you.
But now when I'm a period, I'll have avocado and beets.
You would have done that anyway.
That's what I took from it. Plus, I don't have any like serious ailments, so I wasn't reading it to like cure anything.
Right.
I was just reading it to like get educated a little bit.
Yeah, my boobs are definitely in pain and way bigger for 10 days.
Makes me feel better that that's true of you too, because of course I freak out and I'm like, I have cancer, like something's wrong with me, like it shouldn't be this way, but I think
no,
it's just that way.
Also, and we can close up the period. Actually, we can talk about periods for 3 hours. I don't care. But this seems fake and not true, but something about like your sexual activity affects.
Oh, I know
that. Like, I had if you like change partners, mm-hmm. you might have different effects on your boob pain or cramps.
I know. I have read that. That's super weird.
Or if you're, I think it's maybe not partners, but like whether you're active or not.
Yeah. But then it's like, you don't want to have sex when your boobs hurt. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, but they're bigger. So it's like, ooh.
I know. Well, your guy likes it. You like it. But it's like, if you move at all, yeah, it's ow. They're so big. They're jumping around. They hurt.
They're hurting. Meow. So your podcast.
Yeah. Wow, really circuitous way to get back to that.
I'm great at this. I'm a great host and I'm real fun. So your podcast, it seems like you kind of, I'm curious about the people you talk to. Like, can you just talk about like who's someone you talk to, you learn something great from, like, you know what I mean? The people you've interviewed.
Okay. So our podcast is called That's So Retrograde. An ode to That's So Raven, and also our love of astrology and all things esoteric like that. And who do we have on? So,
like, I saw there was one about mindful eating, maybe.
Yeah. So we had these two girls from this company called Sakara Life who do like home delivery meal service for people who are wealthy. But they also have like a magazine and a blog, and they have like how to like live a healthy life on the go, mm-hmm. in like modern times. Like, our whole thing is basically like bringing health and wellness to people who have otherwise found it inaccessible and too esoteric. So it's like, you might be interested in like tarot reading, or you might be interested in like crystal healing, or you might be interested in like macrobiotic eating, but you're like, I don't want to be like one of those people who's like into that. I'm not going to throw my whole life into like being a kundalini yogi and wearing a white thing on my head for the rest of my life. That doesn't mean that you don't want to like practice those things and make your life better. So we're kind of trying to like bridge the gap between like regular modern life that's like busy and fast paced and involves like partying and having fun with like all that stuff that makes you like healthy and better and feel good.
Is there anything that comes to mind that you've learned from interviewing all these different people from different aspects of health and wellness, like that you've like has stuck with you?
I've learned so much. That's my favorite part about doing the podcast, is that like I'm getting educated.
Yeah.
We had this doctor on who is a gut health doctor. You should look into her. And she talked a lot about probiotics and their efficacy. And she taught us about this thing called prebiotics, which, okay, so basically probiotics are like seeds. If you're looking at like gardening, right? Mm-hmm. Probiotics are like seeds that you're putting in soil, and you're hoping that like something will grow from the seeds you put in your soil. But what if the soil that you're putting your seeds in is toxic and unable to grow things, which is a lot the case with like our gut bacteria. It's like, it's bad, overgrown bad bacteria. So if you keep putting probiotics in it, it's not really going to do anything. So prebiotics are the thing that like holds the soil and like turns it around and like makes it like ripe for the probiotics to be received. And she just like explained the way that like our intestines work in such an incredible way. So thorough. I mean, I can't even like begin to get into it. The episode's called Gut Instincts. but yeah, like that was fucking incredible. We did, yesterday we had someone on who's like a channeling expert who like teaches people how to like channel like energies from like the spirit realm. It was like, it's like there's so many different things.
What is crystal healing, and is it something you stand behind?
I do. Crystal healing,
because it sounds ridiculous.
Okay, so crystal healing would be like the philosophy that elements on planet Earth have the capacity to heal us as we are of the Earth. Mm-hmm. So different stones have different properties that are supposedly conjuring different energies that we attune with. So like a rose quartz, you know what that is, right?
Yeah.
So that's a stone of the heart. So like supposedly if you carry a rose quartz, or if you see someone, like I have a friend who's a crystal healer. So she uses like the actual powers of the stones to like move your energy into like a more calm and therapeutic space.
And you believe in this?
I mean, I believe in it because I've felt it.
What did you feel?
I don't believe that any one healing modality can cure you of anything.
Right.
But I do believe that if you have like a stagnation of energy, you've been getting acupuncture, you know about this a little bit.
A little bit.
If you have a stagnation of energy, or you have a past of pain or like fear that's like holding you back and preventing you from like being happy in your life, I do believe that like someone working with the energies of crystals can move that for you and help you like live a freer, happier life.
And how would you explain, because I went to see your acupuncturist, mm-hmm. and I even told her.
She was on the podcast.
What?
She was on.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Ooh, I gotta listen to that. And like, I even told her, I was like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why people come see you.
Yeah.
But I'll just give this a try.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. I don't know why. Like, I don't understand what acupuncture is doing.
Well, you know, it's funny you're having me on here to explain this, because I'm like not a doctor by any
means. But you are.
I'm just like a seeker of this stuff. So acupuncture works with like the meridians of the body, which are energy lines. So like basically like your body has highways of energy that are connected. I don't know how many there are. There's hundreds of them, but they go from like, I'm sure you guys have seen like the chart of lines, and then there's like dots on the lines, and like every dot on your body is associated with an organ. So for example, like this part of your calf, like the middle of your calf, is associated with your liver. So like if you have like really, really insane calf pain, you might have like some sort of like blockage in your liver.
But what is that based on? Just this old,
it's
sacred
thousands
Chinese
of years
medicine.
Old Chinese, yeah. Medicine that they like, it's science.
Right. But don't you feel like there's a possibility that it's like, in a way, it's a version of what Scientology is, where it's just like some crazy person was like, this will be, why not?
Because it's healed me for so many years and helped me for so long. And like, I can tell when like something that was stuck is no longer stuck. I mean, you, I don't know what you're going for. Like, what are you going there for?
I think just like general, like I need to be healthier. I feel stressed out.
Right.
You know?
So like stress is something that like creates tension in different parts of your body.
Right.
And makes certain organs also stressed out. So with acupuncture, it's just like wherever you're holding that tension, it's like you're moving it and releasing it.
Do you go for a specific ailment?
I started going in 2005 for my digestive issues, which are much more under control now because I've significantly changed my diet. But yeah, I go for still that and stress also. I go for like, she does this thing on me called esoteric acupuncture, which isn't organ based, it's more energetic based. So she's been helping me, like I like had writer's block like so bad, like creatively I was like dead like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I went there and I was like, there is something that's like keeping my brain like hostage and I can't be creative and it's making me so fucking depressed.
And you didn't know what it was, you just said like something.
Yeah, I just said a bunch of stuff and I explained to her what I was feeling. She looked at my tongue, she's like, well, first of all, you have like a lot of overgrown yeast and like this is what's going on. And like She put her needles in, I fell asleep and I woke up and I was like literally like reinvigorated. I mean, I fell asleep, I woke up and I was like so wonky and weird and I felt weird for like probably 6 hours. But then the next day I was just like, I didn't want to smoke weed, I didn't want to drink, I didn't want to like put anything in my body, I just wanted to like put things out.
Like throw up?
No, like I wanted to like write and go to stand up and like have fun and laugh. Like I didn't, you know how you feel the difference between like when the world is closing in on you and when you're like out? And
yeah.
It's like that shift. So I went from being like, I'm in pain and like why life, to being like, oh my God, like I'm so blessed and I just want to like be creative and make people laugh. Like it was like literally like an instant shift. Cause it's like psychology is cool and all that shit is cool. But I feel like sometimes when you go into your problems and you just like analyze the past so much, it's like it's not helping you or serving you to just like move forward. Like I just want to like shift the vibe and like move on.
Yeah, that sounds so fun.
Yeah, I don't want to be like, it's because my mom was like mean. Like I don't want to do that.
Right, you just want someone to put needles in you and wake up and
feel better,
go do an open mic.
Yeah. And like if it doesn't last, that's fine, but the point is that you get to that place where you feel that feeling and you know that feeling is attainable. So you start to make changes in your life to like keep feeling like that.
Yeah.
You know, like I think that's what you need to do with your diet.
Dude. Okay. So I hear what you're saying. It just doesn't feel realistic.
That's you deciding that and you not being ready.
But I think part of it comes, hold on, let me take a sip of my water.
At least you're drinking water.
So healthy.
I'm drinking a bulletproof coffee.
Do you have that every day?
Yeah.
I love coffee now. That's a big change in me since I feel like last few years is now I really like coffee. Is that good or bad?
I think it's fine. I try not to be too like
hard on certain
hard
things.
On anything, yeah. Really.
So I just think that it comes down to the fact that I quite clearly am addicted to sugar.
Yes.
I don't necessarily feel it's as bad as it's been, but I definitely like need a dessert every day, and sometimes I need like dessert throughout the day. And it's like, but also I'm like, I'm not ready to let go of it. I think before, maybe like few years ago, I was pretty unhappy with my weight, so I was really determined to take care of the sugar addiction, and like I really wanted and sought out like how to get rid of this and how to stop eating sugar. But I think now that I'm a little more mature and a little more comfortable in the skin I'm in, I feel less motivated to quit sugar because I'm not like hating my body the way America wants me to hate it.
It's an interesting thing. It really is. It's like the difference of getting healthy for the reasons of getting healthy versus getting healthy for your vanity.
Yeah, which is, it seems to me way more motivating.
It is more motivating because it's more immediate.
But yeah. Also, it's the thing of like on cigarettes when the warning says like this will cause early aging. It's like more scary than the warning that says like
birth defects.
Yeah.
Because they're like, whatever. I don't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I completely understand that. And I know it's really difficult. But I think that, you know, you need to get to a place where you can substitute whatever dessert. Like, there is plenty of like coconut oil, coconut sugar based desserts that will satisfy.
Why is that okay? Why is coconut sugar okay?
I mean, it's not great, but it's better than high fructose corn syrup.
Is it really? Because I feel like sugar is sugar.
Well, you can't have it when you're starving your candida. You have to starve your candida. You have to go on a yeast cleanse.
So can you explain what candida is?
Candida is an overgrowth of bad bacteria in your lower intestine. And that's what you have. That's why you have like, that's why you have stomach problems. Because you're feeding your bad bacteria the thing that they need to multiply.
I mean, I cannot tell you how happy the bacteria in my stomach must be. I am so good.
But
to
how
it
uncomfortable because of all the is it for you?
You know, it's not like I'm in constant pain, but it's not fun craving sugar all day.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
Yeah.
And also the guilt
monsters
associated. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. You got to go on a candida cleanse. I told you, you should start with drinking apple cider vinegar with water every morning.
I pulled it out of the cabinet last night, but I forgot to drink it this morning. But that's, I did something.
Just start with that. It will start to alkalize your body a little bit.
Yeah, why is apple cider vinegar a thing? You just put a small amount in a cup of water?
Yeah, make the water cold so it tastes good. It starts the digestive process and... I do believe that the something in the vinegar helps to starve the candida, to kill them off.
Do you still do that?
I do it every morning.
Did you do...
It also makes your skin better.
Ooh. What are other like little healthy things that you do every day or you try to do every day?
I put also a capful of chlorophyll into my water in the morning. Start your day, life hack, start your day with a cup of apple cider vinegar lemon water. You need ester?
Wait, okay, so you have a life hack.
Oh, yeah. So I recommend starting your day every morning with apple cider vinegar water and a lemon.
A lemon in the water.
It just makes your stomach start digesting before you put anything in it so that when you do eat something, your digestive process is more effective and your bloat will, like, decrease. That's, like, a lot what bloat is. It's you're not fully digesting your food. And you have fucking... yeast babies.
Oh no.
Yeah. Another thing I like to do, I've been dry brushing, which is really cool.
It seems so time consuming.
I don't know. I like things that are like old timey and take a little while because it makes me feel like it's like conscious meditation. I mean, it takes 5 minutes, but it's like, I like to do that. I like to like give myself love like that.
Why do they say that you're supposed to brush towards your heart?
Because that's where the center of your circulation.
Oh. I bought a dry brush. Like,
it makes me feel so good. I love it.
That's so weird.
Do it before you take a shower.
I don't take a shower. I feel like I wish there's a place where you could go strip down and someone would dry brush you.
Ugh, I wouldn't like that.
Maybe you can get a lover to do it. I don't know.
I dry brushed myself at Wee Spa last night before I went in the saunas.
What's a Wee Spa?
It's a Korean spa in Koreatown in Los Angeles, and it's open till 4 o'clock in the morning.
And what do you do there?
You go and you like soak in these pools, and then you also go upstairs where it's co-ed and you can hang out with all your buds, and you go into all these different kinds of saunas that are like different temperatures and have different properties, and you just like sweat it all out.
What is it?
Like toxins and emotions related to toxins.
I feel like all you do is self-care.
I try.
It's kind of like motivating and interesting.
I mean, that's like all that you can do. I mean, obviously I love to like lay on my bed and watch TV all the time, but
that's self-care, bitch.
It is self-care. I feel like I can't get work done unless I'm like really taking care of myself.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
People who like are stressed all the time and like working, I'm just like, you must be running on adrenaline because I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, stress is definitely after having an actual like real life. When I had shingles, like right. seeing and really feeling affected negatively by being stressed.
Yeah.
I've made small efforts all year to just be like, to just not let myself get stressed because I actually used to enjoy the stress.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me was addicted to it where I'd feel stressed out and I'd be like, I'd thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, that's actually disgusting.
Making you sick.
Yeah. It's yeah. not good.
Yeah.
It has some consequences and they're pretty tingly and
that's
itchy.
Gnarly.
And yeah. How do you cope with stress? Just all the different
marijuana.
Ooh.
Mostly, probably, I would say.
Oh, you said that you're gonna go see a hypnotist.
Oh yeah, I wanna get hypnotized so I can stop smoking tobacco.
Do you smoke? You don't smoke cigarettes.
I don't smoke cigarettes, but I smoke spliffs.
Every day?
Yeah.
What's the difference between tobacco or between a cigarette and what you're doing?
I buy like loose tobacco, so it's not treated with as many chemicals. And then I grind my weed and mix my tobacco with my weed and smoke like a spicy cigarette. It gets me kind of stoned.
You're kind of a boy.
Why?
I don't know. That just feels like something a boy would do.
All my girlfriends smoke them too.
No way.
Yeah, all my best friends. All my best friends smoke spliffs except for you.
I feel like Benji does that.
Yeah. Benji does it. We're big spliff buddies. But he's like me. Like, he's crazy. He'll fucking like flush an entire bag of tobacco down the toilet, or he'll be like, I'm driving by your house, you have to take this tobacco away from me. Like, he has no self-control. It's like you with cookies.
Do you do that?
No.
Wait, do you know about the time when Benji bought a safe with like,
yes,
okay, with what was that? It like you put an alarm
a
or
day timer on it. He would put his weed in there.
Yeah, he'd put his weed and then he started to put cookies in there.
I told him that was, I was like, this is not gonna work out.
It's such a weird idea.
It's such a funny idea.
It's hilarious. I don't know how it ended.
I mean, I think it just ended because it was, he was like probably sitting around staring at it being like, I want yeah. what's in there. And like, you just, I don't really think that that's the way to like.
To solve, it's like too external.
Yeah, and it's too extreme and you're not actually like doing any work inside. Yeah, it's external.
Right.
That's why I want to get hypnotized because I feel like. The issue isn't me like wanting to quit tobacco. Like I want to quit tobacco. Obviously I know it's bad for me, but I love smoking so much.
You just got so intense.
Like I love smoking. It's a calming, it's like a ritual for me.
Well, yeah. Like, so there are people who say, okay, I don't keep sweets in the house, so I don't have a problem. But that, then when you're out in the world and someone brings cupcakes to work, like,
right, then what happens?
Yeah. So those things, you really do have to somehow solve it inside. And I've been able to make some big changes in the last couple of years, but again, I'm still addicted. So you feel like you can get hypnotized
so many times, but it's like, because how long can I like smoking, I keep going back. I feel like hypnotism will make it so I don't like smoking. That's what I hope. I don't know.
Do you live a life without any sugar?
No, I don't really have a lot of it though. I mean, I do, I'll put like honey in my coffee. I used to be as a kid, dude, I was like you. I was addicted to candy. Like my mom would find candy wrappers in every drawer of my room. Like I was addicted to candy.
You started young.
I had like 20 cavities in my mouth. Like it was bad.
See, what kills me is that I didn't like sweets as a kid.
You missed it.
What happened to me? Like I feel like this isn't who I am.
Like I ate all my sweets when my metabolism was still at its peak.
Oh, that's so smart.
But I didn't do it on purpose.
See, my mom was like, you didn't ever want sweets. You just wanted more food.
But what if you could stop eating the thing because you knew it was bad for you? Like, what if you could, like, have sweets, but ones that were, like, actually not hurting your body?
What?
Like, what, you have to think about, like, mass-produced food that's, like, packaged. is bad for you.
I know. Like Cheez-Its, Teddy Grahams.
All that stuff is like you're eating, basically eating poison.
Ugh.
And you're not six. So why are you eating Teddy Grahams? No, but you just have to think of it like that. Like, that's what I mean. Like, changing your thought process. Like, instead of being like, I'm not going to eat these things, even though I want them. Like, you're never going to succeed like that because you're constantly going to be in a state of rebellion for yourself. Instead, making healthy choices because that's what's good for your body.
So what if today, you know, a couple hours from now, it's 5 o'clock. I'm like, I could really go for a tasty treat.
Okay.
What would you say that I do?
Well, what kind of treat do you want?
Like, what, ideally, I'm like, I want to get a Sprinkles cupcake. Vanilla or s'mores, I'm flexible.
Why don't you go to Erewhon and get a cupcake that's made with more locally sourced ingredients and not, like, high fructose, like, cane sugar ingredients? Like, why don't you go get, like, those good vegan treats?
I guess because I don't really believe that it's any different.
It's totally different. It's still sugar. I mean, for you, it's different because you need to starve your candida. So no matter what you put in your body, it's going to be bad.
You are so hard on me.
Sorry, dude. The truth hurts.
What is the candida diet? It's just no sugar, no bread.
It's intense. It's really intense. Olivia's, my friend, is doing it for like a month and she's like miserable on it. But her
sounds fun.
But her yeast is totally gone. I mean, I don't know with you. Like, do you get yeast infections?
I used to get them all the time. I mean, I got them a lot, not all the time. But I haven't had one in years.
Well, that's really good.
Yeah. So, and she did say, our acupuncturist did say, my tongue looked better than it did when she saw me 3 years ago. But there's still a problem.
Right.
I guess when you stick out your tongue, you can see if you have bacterial overgrowth.
Yeah. You need to just make, you know what you should do? You should make 2 small changes.
Okay. Okay. I like that. That feels good.
And see how you feel.
Can you tell me what those should be?
I think
can we plan
start
it together?
With the apple cider vinegar.
Okay. It's already on the counter in the kitchen.
Because that will help you. You can do it every time before you eat if you want to, but definitely in the morning. I really, really, really want you to stop eating processed foods. Like mainstream processed foods. Go to fucking Whole Foods or go to a
grocery store. Dude, I've done that. I don't.
And buy chips and buy all the shit that you want, but buy it not like Lay's. Buy like things that are organic.
I straight up feel like I've done that and it doesn't. Like I am a person who's like Whole Foods all the way. Like I buy a nicer version. I just don't now, like, logically, I don't think it makes a big difference. I think if you're eating chips, you're eating chips, and if you're eating a cupcake, they're all
no
cupcakes.
Because like a Lay's potato chip is going to use like canola oil, they're going to use like other random vegetable oils, they're going to use potatoes that are sourced,
so
like
you
nationally
want chips
that are grown with growth hormones, and they're going to use all the shit that can be produced on a mass level. That's the stuff that's really bad for you.
So when you want chips, what are you eating?
I'll go and get like a bean chip or something.
Oh, I do love those.
Yeah, or like there's these quinoa chips that I really like now.
Ooh.
Like, I'm telling you, I've had the most extreme diet. Like, I was eating for my blood type for a while, which I still kind of do.
Oh yeah, wait.
And
tell
I couldn't
me about
eat
that.
Anything.
I really want to do that, but I don't know my blood type.
You have to find your blood type. I couldn't eat anything. And I
did you see the text that I did with my mom about that?
Yeah, that was funny. That was really funny. Your parents will see you. But I was, with my crazy restriction, I was able to find something to satisfy all of my cravings. But you can't be a baby about it. You have
I need
to, like,
you to hold my hand.
Yeah, you need like a guide. You're being a baby about it and you're just like justifying that it's the same. But
will
it's
you
really
commit to being my
same.
Guide live on air?
Yeah, I'll be your guide. We can do, I really want to do it. I want to do a field podcast with you where we go and like, we're in Whole Foods and I'm like, we're talking.
Let's
about
just
it.
Do that as a Periscope.
Oh, okay. And I'm not up with the.
First of all, yeah, you are.
With the times.
Yeah, let's make a plan to do that on Periscope.
Okay, done.
That's great.
Yeah.
We should bring a third wheel to hold the phone.
Okay, who can we bring?
Benji?
Benji or
Although
Mike?
Oh yeah, Mike would be good.
Mike will do it. Okay. I feel like Benji would bully us a little bit.
He would. He'd make it about him.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't have that. We're the stars of this Periscope.
I feel like you and me together, like, that's Benji's dream of, like, roasting someone. It's, there's just so much there for him.
I know. We're his muses.
Want to write for the Comedy Central roast just to meet Esther and Steph? We are muses.
We're just extreme versions of humans, and that's what it is. So
we
it's
just
like
have personalities, yo.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Before my other question, so something that you and I have in common
is Jewish.
We're half Jewish, bitch.
True.
We both adopted dogs, send them to our parents, and now our parents love them, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you have made it a step further, and you've gotten a new dog.
I have.
And you're able to take care of it, it seems like, via Instagram.
Yes.
Can you speak on this? How are you now able to inspire me to believe that I can do the same?
Well, number one, I am 6 years older than I was the first time that I got a dog. So that's a significant difference.
True.
Number two, when I initially adopted a dog, I adopted a pit bull puppy. And I was her name's Boop.
Boop.
Yeah. I was in no way equipped to train or care for a pit bull puppy. I literally was like of the school of thought where I was like, she'll just like learn from me. Like
yeah.
I was like, she'll just watch me and like, she'll just like eat my food. It's like a girl and her dog. And I had this like weird, like fucking fantasy that she was just going to like be chill. Mm-hmm. She was a psycho. And then ultimately my building was like, you can't have a pit bull in this building. So my parents took her. Now she lives with my dad and his girlfriend.
Okay.
And I hung out with her last weekend and she's so sweet.
Do you still like feel like she's your baby?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Pepper.
But she's actually like my dad's like best friend. Like it's really
same.
Cute.
Pepper and my dad have become like just this duo that can't be stopped.
Yeah.
Because I have a surveillance camera in my parents' living room. I don't know if you know this.
That's so funny.
So every time I peek in, Pepper is just like cozied up next to my dad. Like they just feel like there's just
they're like buds.
Yeah. It's like boys hang or something.
Well, Boop's a girl. And like, so we went on this road trip to visit my grandma and my dad. We stopped at a rest stop. My dad went to the bathroom and I waited in the car. And literally I saw him coming from inside the rest stop. She was already perked up and like looking at him. And I was like, this dog, it loves you so much. And I think it's good for him too. So in that way, like I'm happy that.
Right. I feel like I gave back and like did something good for my family and the dog.
I feel like that too. But also like before my parents got divorced, Boop did attack their other dog and like send it to the hospital.
Wait, that's so weird. Pepper terrorizes their dog.
It's bad. Like Boop's a pit bull, so she could like kill them.
Oh, Pepper's.
But yeah, she like terrorized Jackson and like bit his throat and he had to like go to the hospital. And my parents had to pay like thousands of dollars.
That's really bad.
Bills. Yeah.
Pepper just bullies Duncan, like, sorry for the noise, guys.
Construction in Esther's home. Oh, sorry. Cut that out. Do we edit this?
Yeah, we can.
Oh. We're not in her home. I was kidding. In the studio.
So, like, he'll just terrorize. Like, if ever Duncan has a toy, Pepper, like, won't let him have the toy. Like, yeah. He just can't let Duncan
Well, it's because they were raised by us and we're assholes and we're like, they'll just learn from us. And then they really did.
Yeah. I do find that he is, like, just me.
Yeah.
That's what my parents say, too.
I love her. But then Carlos is my new dog who I've had for, like, 2 years. And he came into my life. He was already 5 years old. So I didn't have to do any work on him.
Right.
He was already trained. He already like he innately knew just to follow me around everywhere. So he's literally the easiest animal.
Does being trained make a huge difference?
Yeah. When people are like, how did you train him? I'm like, I didn't. I don't know how to do that.
Shit. I need to find a trained dog.
It's really hard to train a dog for me because I just want to like give them whatever they want. And they're so cute. And like, I don't really know the difference between like
discipline and love.
Yeah. Or, like, knowing how to, like, not reinforce bad behavior.
Right.
And then if Carlos, like, poos in my house sometimes if I'm gone for too long, like, I don't even have to yell at him. And he's, like, cowering around me and, like, knows he did something wrong. And then I'm just like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, come here.
I know, that's how, but see, that's how I was with Pepper, and it just did not work. He couldn't make a mistake. I would spoil him. He didn't want to eat, so I would hand feed him pebble by pebble.
Yeah.
And now my parents have this like terrorizing dog, and like he can't eat by himself.
He looks like he got pretty fat too.
He got so fat.
Yeah.
Well, that's my dad. My dad like substitutes their, like he feeds them to get their attention and to feel love.
Yeah.
But like, so now Pepper, my dad has to sit in the basement next to Pepper in order for him to eat.
Oh my God.
They have all of these rituals. Like my parents say they're prisoners because of all the weird things they have to do with their dogs.
That's so funny.
Which I love and kind of want to give them a third dog somehow.
I can't believe I've never met your parents. I need to meet them.
That's so weird. My mom is coming in a couple weeks. You should meet her then.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I need that.
Can you do my UCB show Sunday, November 8th at 7:30 p.m.?
Sure.
Okay.
That might be the first show when I'm 30 years old.
No way.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's Sunday, November 8th, UCB Franklin. You guys, if you want to see me and Stephanie and Kate Berlant and Emmy Blotnick, it's going to be, might be
nice.
All girls.
Chicks all around.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to our Periscope Whole Foods date as well.
Oh, me too.
I feel like that's a web series waiting to happen.
It is, girl. You got it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I needed to cover with you.
I feel like I'm doing a good job keeping my energy up considering how fucking hungry I am.
Oh, I forgot. That's really annoying.
So hungry.
I mean, I have chips and candy, but
what kind of chips do you have?
They're sea salt vinegar.
Ugh. Okay, I'll take three of them.
Yeah, okay. I'll just give you three bags. Let's see. Okay. That lineup you sent me from 2009.
Oh my God, dude.
Which, by the way, I always have an accidental Z in my name, but it's funny, on that lineup, you got the Z. Tommy, the talent coordinator at the Comedy Store, always used to spell my name with a Z.
Yeah, I always thought your name was spelled with a Z.
Yeah, which I never speak up because I'm like, thank you for what you gave me.
How is it spelled?
POVITSKY.
Oh, I think you're in a Z with my phone, in my phone.
Ugh, sorry. So annoying.
I will change that ASAP.
Please. But that was crazy to see that. Someone on Twitter, Grant Cotter, this comedian, posted a lineup from an open mic from August of 2009. Mm-hmm. And my name was on there. Steph's name was on there. Grant, Gerard Carmichael. It just,
Angelo.
It really brought me back to the golden era.
It really did make me be just like, holy shit. Like, even though 2009 like isn't really that long ago,
it is though.
It kind of is, and it really made me like take a step back and be like, I've been doing this for a while. Like, I haven't done the Comedy Store open mic in probably like 5 years. Like long. Like, I did that only in 2009 and 2000, yeah. Early 2010.
Yeah.
And it made me sad too, because I feel like my relationship with that place, like we talked about this. I don't know if this is something you want to talk about on the podcast, but
it's just complicated.
It just made me sad because I remember the how like hopeful and like young and like naive we kind of were to things. And also it made me happy because I was like, wow, we were included. Like, we were like later in the lineup and like we were like in
right.
It, you know, and I've kind of forgot about those times. And it feels with stand up, it's so hard to like track your own progress because you never really feel like you're getting better. Like, I mean, I feel like I can go on stage now like way more underprepared and just like have fun and talk. And that's kind of like my goal. But like to say like I'm getting really good, like I don't think I'll ever like really feel that way. But I could remember 2009 and I definitely know like I am a different comedian now than I was then.
Well, of course. And just like your life just changes. It just reminded me of like how much I looked forward to like Sunday and Monday. It used to be Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
At the Comedy Store was like all the open mics, or it was called Potluck. But now that's only on Mondays and it's a little bit different. But
it's just so different.
It really, that was such a fun thing. Like, you get to go two nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that you're friends with. For me, those, the only people I knew in Los Angeles, like, were there at that night.
Were there.
Yeah. And it was just, I don't know. I don't really have anything that fun. But I'm not like 4,900 years old. Like, I shouldn't be looking back on 6 years ago and feel like if only it was as fun. Like, I feel like I should be still engaging in stuff that fun, but I'm not.
Well, it's like, you know, the difference between being in high school and in grad school, basically. It's like, your 6 years go by and you'd be a senior in high school, then you'd be 2 years into grad school. So I guess that is kind of like a long time.
Yeah, especially when you're younger, the years are...
And you're just naive. We're like, we have so much to look forward to. Like, we're going to perform here all the time. Like, this is our place. And like, now I'm just like, I don't even really like engage. I mean, I want to get spots at the Comedy Store and I love it there, but the whole like thing I was investing in 2009 has kind of like been disbanded.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely
but
different.
But it also was really cute because I'm like, oh, look at us. Like, we're just kids together.
Yeah.
It was really cute.
I still remember the first time I saw you on the patio at the Comedy Store waiting to sign up for the open mic. And I was like, oh, well, that girl is definitely not a comedian because she's way too pretty.
But you thought I was fat.
You were fat, yeah.
You're such a bitch.
You were.
I cannot believe that.
I don't know if that
was
my...
I feel like I'm the same now as I was then.
You're not. I don't know if that was my thought when I saw you, but I definitely know that you were fat and you're not fat anymore. But also...
I never knew I was fat.
That's weird. I knew I was fat, too. I knew I was fat.
I think I just was like, this is my Italian body.
That's really confident of you and like mature. I didn't. I was super insecure. I mean, but I just like had gained a bunch of weight in college. So.
I mean, I guess I did like go on Adderall and Wellbutrin to like specifically lose weight. So I probably was like pretty insecure.
Whenever I tell you you were fat, you're like always so surprised. But
I just think like I always thought like I was hard on myself. But then you say it like I was. Really,
you're not.
You're
though.
Saying it like I had a reason.
Casual about it. I don't know.
Right.
But I also whatever. I'm a monster. It's
that's
fine.
So
but
funny.
I'm.
What
a
I was
good
pretty
friend.
Fat. So I guess that's fine.
Yeah. You were pretty fat, which is way better than what I was. Oh my god. When I see pictures of that time, I'm just like.
You and Tony.
Oh my god. I sent someone a photo of me. When I was like much heavier and I was like, look at my cousin. We look so much alike. And they were like, wow, that's so weird. I'm like, it's me.
And they were like, you, oh my God.
Yeah. I was so big that I was basically unrecognizable.
No.
Yes. Yes, Stephanie. Whatever. This is like such a vapid, silly conversation, but it is kind of fun. I think that we covered all of the spots I wanted to hit.
Did we?
Yeah, we should probably like recoup after you changed my life.
We should. We should do our Periscope, give it like a week or two, and then come back around and do another pod to touch base.
Yeah. This is the dreams are
and
in motion.
If you do make changes.
I get a present?
You can be on That's So Retrograde.
Ah! Oh, that is so annoying.
I'm holding a spot on my podcast over your head.
All right, well, Steph, thank you for joining me today.
Anytime.
I'm glad that we finally did this. You have a great podcast, That's So Retrograde, on iTunes. You are a part of a show that was on Oxygen, is on Oxygen.
Funny Girls.
Which we can talk more about that maybe next time. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to it. And you have pink hair. And every girl wants to be your best friend because of it.
It's my most important credit to date.
Goodbye. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Feral Audio.
As a branch of the United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.